says something that sounds kind of like a dad, you know, kind of old-timerish. And so he comes back with this phrase, okay, boomer. Have you ever heard this phrase? And his dad says, I'm not a baby boomer, I'm Generation X. He says, okay, boomer. And I didn't think much of it at the time, but then like I was at this pastor's prayer group in Muncie, and one of the older pastors was kind of complaining about how the young adults in his church don't want to get jobs. And one of the other pastors said, okay, boomer, is this a thing? Like, have you heard this? Like, how long has this been around? It kind of sounds like, well, you're so out of the loop, you're so behind the times that we're not even going to try to explain it to you now. We're just going to kind of humor you and just kind of, well, okay, whatever you say, sure, boomer. Because, like, if you're a baby boomer, then you don't have anything worthwhile to say, just, like, by virtue of being that generation. I mean, when did it become okay to, like, devalue what somebody had to say just because they were older? Isn't that kind of a reversal of, isn't that kind of like what Craig Ferguson was talking about? I pulled him up because I was going to say a lot of that stuff anyway, and then I realized he had this comedy clip about it, and it's much funnier to watch him say it. But this is kind of a startling trend in the culture. Contrast that with, here we are, Ten Commandments. You can open up your Bibles to Exodus 20. And remember where we are. Remember, we're on this mountain, or at least at the foot of this mountain, and there's fire and there's smoke and an earthquake. And the voice of God is kind of thundering over the people, so that they're kind of cowering in fear at the voice of God. And he only says 10 things. Just 10 commandments that he says out loud for the whole nation to hear. And the fifth one is this, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And this commandment to honor your father and mother seems pretty timeless. I mean, doesn't it seem like everybody knows this around the world? Just by virtue of growing up as a baby, dependent on adults, you learn that you have to respect those that are older than you, respect the adults that take care of you. And most cultures around the world extend this principle to respecting people of the older generation, whether they're your parents or not. And the Bible picks this up, so Leviticus 19 starts out like in verse 3, kind of reiterating the fifth commandment, each of you must respect your father and mother, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. But then it extends it in verse 32, that same principle, to stand up in the presence of the aged. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. So on the one hand, this is kind of seems like a universal principle. And yet notice that driving both of these commandments is that reminder that I am the Lord, I am Yahweh. Therefore, you not only listen to your father and mother, but you also keep my Sabbaths. You not only respect the elderly, but you also revere your God. And it's all kind of like one package in God's mind. And I think it's a mistake when we take this universal kind of understood principle to honor your parents, but we make it absolute. I think it's a mistake to try to divorce that from our faithfulness to God himself. Because it either becomes blown way out of proportion, so you end up with like ancestor worship like they do out in East Asia still today, or you end up kind of backfiring, where people start saying, well, you know, my parents have done stupid things too. Why do I have to listen to them at all? And there are some really good inherent reasons to listen to your parents and to listen to those that are older than you, which we'll talk about. But to really get this principle right, to get this commandment right, we need to tie it to the fact that honoring your parents is what pleases God. So let's pray, and then we will start kind of dissecting this passage. God, we thank you that you have established not only a law about how we relate to you, but you've also recognized that we needed laws about how we relate to one another. And I pray that we would understand those. And I pray that you'd open up our hearts to receive your word today. And we'd recognize some of the challenges that are coming along with this. But in spite of that, that our hearts would be open and tender to let you do your work in us today. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's kind of a cultural trend that we need to recognize going into this. I thought about just summarizing Craig Ferguson because he's kind of like he's Scottish and he talks really fast. But he gets to exaggerate a bit. You know, he gets to kind of blow it up and talk about the deification of imbecility, which I love that phrase. But even if he's exaggerating a little bit, can we agree that he's got a good point? That there is this trend to kind of deify youth or to kind of exalt the virtue of being young to a healthy degree, and that along with that comes some detrimental byproducts. I mean, why would you have a 50-year-old woman kind of acting like an exotic dancer on the Super Bowl halftime show if she's not trying to say, hey, I've still got it. You know, I'm still young and beautiful. You do get the feeling like people are afraid to be adults, afraid to act like adults, because adults aren't as cool as they used to be, maybe. And so consequently, along with that sense of not wanting to be older, not wanting to be an adult, and certainly not wanting to be elderly, there's this growing sort of trend maybe you've kind of gotten a vibe for where there's not as much of a sense of, I need to talk to adults, I need to talk to people who are older with respect, or I need to treat them with honor. It's like youth is the new standard. And some of you are probably looking at me thinking, you're one to talk. Like, okay, but you don't come listen to me because I'm 35, you come listen to me because I'm opening up God's word for us together. And I don't want this to be like a, you know, kids these days, kind of a bashing time. We don't want to venture into the opposite error that Paul warns against when he tells Timothy, don't let anyone despise you because of your youth. So we don't want to make the opposite error. And yet I think it's important for us to realize the trend kind of against this commandment if we're going to resist it the way that we need to understand it from a biblical perspective. So recognizing there is a kind of a resistant trend to this commandment, the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. And the word honor in Hebrew means having weight. It means giving something weight. And we talk about this in English too. You can talk about taking someone lightly, which means not much weight, which means you don't take them seriously. Or you can say somebody pulls a lot of weight, which means they have a lot of influence. And so honor your father and your mother, and by extension, honoring those that are of older generations to you, means that you take them seriously. It means you give them significance. It means you take the time to listen to them and don't brush them off, especially if they have a different perspective than you have. Now, for children living under the care of their parents, that means obedience. And this probably comes as no surprise to anyone. Even parents that know nothing about the Bible, if they're going to teach them anything about God, they're going to teach them this. God wants you to obey me, and he wants you to obey your parents, which seems awfully convenient for the quasi-spiritual parent, and yet it's true. You know, Colossians 3, Ephesians 6, both say things along the lines of, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, or for this pleases the Lord. So under normal circumstances, and we'll talk about the exceptions later, children growing up under their parents should do what their parents say. That's what it looks like for them to honor their parents. But it also means more than that. It means having a certain sort of attitude, right? So youth, I'm sure I've got your attention at this point. You know that if you talk to your parents sarcastically, in a way that's kind of insulting, in a way that says, You don't know what you're talking about. You know that's not honoring your parents. And he says, not only doing what they tell you to do, but it's talking to them, listening to them in a way that gives them significance, that gives them weight. And you're probably thinking at this point, if I knew the pastor was on my parents' side, I wouldn't have come today. But I've got parents too. In fact, we all had parents. At some point, many of us still do. So that raises an interesting question. Do you ever grow out of the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother? And the answer is no. Even once you grow out of this command for children to obey their parents, and we'll talk about that, you never grow out of honor your father and your mother. Now, Confucius out east, East Asia, kind of takes this to an extreme. And you've probably heard of Confucius. Maybe you've heard like the one-liners of like, Confucius say, man who stand on toilet, high on pot. You ever heard that one? That's not actually what Confucius said. But Confucius did have a lot of these little short phrases that kind of were passed on and had a lot of influence in East Asia. He lived 1,500 years ago in China. And he taught that a son should obey his father his entire life. And in fact, after his father dies for 3 years, his son shouldn't change anything about the way that his father did things. On the other hand, Confucius also believed in ancestor worship because he didn't really have a god to believe in. The ancestors were pretty much the ultimate standard. Now, obviously, that's not the direction we want to go with this. We don't want to turn it into ancestor worship. We know that as adults, you have to make your own choices. You can't rely on your parents' decisions to do everything for you. And that includes eventually reaching a point where you don't live under the obedience of your parents your entire adult life. You have to make choices for yourself. Parents, you know that this is the point you want to lead your children to. Right? You want to eventually bring them to a point where they are independent adults and don't need to have you telling them what to do all the time. And so as they reach that getting closer to adulthood, you need to start letting them deal with the consequences of their own choices gradually. And yet, even as adults, we know that we can make choices that honor our parents or dishonor them. We can treat them with respect, treat them like they're significant, or we can brush them off and treat them like they don't know what they're talking about. And the fifth commandment is to honor your father and mother. And this is a, voice of God speaking from Mount Sinai kind of commandment. And it comes with this promise, as Jeff was talking about, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I want to spend the rest of our time talking about why we honor our father and our mother, kind of unpacking this idea, because there are natural reasons why, but there are also supernatural reasons why we honor our father and mother. And the natural reason is the wisdom of listening to parents and elders. And Proverbs is all about this, right? So from chapter 1, Proverbs, like chapter 1, verse 8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Chapter 3, verse 2 says, they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. So basically, the natural reason is that parents are pretty smart. Not only because they have more experience than their kids, just inevitably, but also because they've been taught by the generation that came before them, who was taught by the generation that came before them. And so they're passing on kind of this growing body of wisdom that we pass on from one generation to another. They can tell you how life works practically, or how it doesn't work, what will ruin your life. So Proverbs says things like, don't go sleeping with another guy's wife. Because if he kills you, you're not going to live very long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, there's also some spiritual knowledge involved in this. So Deuteronomy 6 talks about this. Deuteronomy 6 says these commands commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. This is something parents are supposed to be doing with their children on a regular basis, talking about God's commands. And so the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother, is really meant to enforce not only the fifth commandment, but all the commandments, assuming that parents are passing these commands on to their children. The Old Covenant, and remember when we read the Ten Commandments, these are terms of a contract. This is what we talked about that the first week. That God was inviting Israel as a nation into this contract, into this covenant. And he said, you will stay in this land that I'm giving you, this promised land, for a long time if you keep my commandments. If you don't keep my commandments, I'm going to have your enemies come in and conquer you and take you away. Which did eventually happen. And they didn't have Bibles. You know, and every family didn't have their own copy of God's law. And so, the way that children knew how to obey God was by listening to their parents who taught them God's commandments. So listening to your parents is how you keep God's law, which is how you remain long in the promised land if you're an Israelite. Now, you've probably already seen the problem with this assumption. What if your parents don't teach you God's commandments? What if they don't teach you to live in obedience to God? We assume that parents are wise because they listen to God, because they listen to their parents before them. But we also know that that's not always true. What do you do if your parents have made really bad choices? And the Bible addresses this too. So like Psalm 95, it says, don't be like your fathers who rebelled against me in the desert. Joshua 24, Joshua tells the people, get rid of these gods that your fathers used to worship in Egypt. But I think 1 Peter 1:18 takes the cake. 1 Peter 1:18 says that the blood of Jesus redeems you from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. So don't miss this part of the Bible. The Bible doesn't just teach us to mindlessly and blindly imitate the life that our parents lived. Even a child might grow up realizing that the things that their parents do are illegal or morally wrong and have to make a choice not to imitate that. Confucius didn't have all the answers. The way of life that your parents lived may have been empty according to the Bible, or it may have been rebellious or idolatrous. What the Bible teaches is that all generations are being held to a single universal standard, which is God's standard. God calls all generations to account. And in the end, you're not answerable to your parents, you're answerable to God. So then how do you honor parents who don't make the right choices? Especially parents that have hurt their children. And we know that this happens sometimes. You know, it sounds nice just to go around telling all parents that you're doing a good job, you're a good father, you're a good mother, but that's not always true. There are some situations where a parent needs to change what they're doing right away, as soon as possible, because they're not loving their children, they're not making responsible decisions. Maybe you've experienced that firsthand. Even those of us that really had good parents growing up, none of us had perfect parents. And all human relationships have some kind of hurt in them, whether in small ways or big ways. And yet the command is not honor your parents if they deserve it. Honor your father and mother if you think that they've earned it from you. So the question is, how do we honor parents who have not made right choices? We need more than just the natural reasons. We need a supernatural reason for honoring our father and mother. All the commandments And if you flip through Leviticus 19, we talked about this. It comes up like 22 times. All the commandments boil down to what God says, that I am Yahweh. They're all based on this principle of honoring God, which gives this command to honor your father and mother something of an unconditional nature. It's not absolute. It's not completely submit to your parents, no matter if they do right or wrong. And yet it is honor your father and mother unconditionally because I am Yahweh. And human relationships are always imperfect, right? They're always messy, and people always get hurt. You can't be human beings in a relationship and not have that happen. And there are two different ways you can treat those imperfect human relationships. You can say, well, all these human relationships are messy, they all have hurt, so I'm going to look out for myself, and I'm going to try to get hurt less than other people. Now, in relationship with your parents or your elders, you can do that by writing them off as unimportant. You can make them seem like they know less than you, like they're not going to have power over your life, so they can't hurt you. You can try to do the same thing by instead doing everything that your parents or elders want you to do, trying to make them happy all the time so that they never say anything that feels hurtful. They never criticize you. Either one is basically trying to protect yourself. But Jesus offers a different approach to human relationships. Jesus was absolutely clear when people did wrong. I mean, they nailed him to a cross. And yet, while he was nailed to a cross, while he was slowly dying and people were hurling insults at him, Jesus says, "Father, forgive them." He didn't by any means diminish the wrong that people were doing to him, and yet he could forgive them freely. And just by virtue of being Christians, if you are a Christian, you know that you've sinned. Otherwise, you're not a Christian. As a Christian, you know that you've sinned against God and that you had to be forgiven if you were going to have a relationship with God at all. You couldn't earn it. He just had to give you his forgiveness freely by the work of Jesus, by the blood that was shed on the cross. God forgave you not because you deserved it, but because he wanted you to have a relationship with him. And therefore, those of us that have received that kind of forgiveness from God can extend that same sort of forgiveness to other people, even if they do things that are wrong to us, because we want to have a relationship with them. In fact, we have to learn to forgive people the way that Jesus forgives us if we're going to be able to love them the way that God calls us to love them. And so honoring our parents doesn't mean pretending that they're perfect. In fact, it means accepting that they're not perfect and forgiving them when they do wrong. And making the choice to treat them with honor, with respect, with appreciation anyway. And notice the mirror image of this. If you are a parent, you know that you're an imperfect parent. You know you do it wrong sometimes. You're probably painfully aware of that. And it's foolish to pretend to your children that you're always right. Apologizing to your kids doesn't make you less worthy of honor as a parent. In fact, it demonstrates, first of all, that you count your relationship with God as so important that you won't leave that wrong unattended to. And secondly, it also teaches your kids how to have humility and how to grow in those personal relationship skills that they so desperately need. And just maybe confessing your sins as a parent will help you to forgive your parents, even if they're not around anymore. And I think it's also worth pointing out that if you are a parent, while God does command your kids to honor you, he doesn't command you to make your kids honor you. As in, yes, you should obviously teach them to obey God's word, and that involves teaching them to honor you. And it does mean correcting them when they need correction. And yet it doesn't require you to take responsibility for all of their choices. So like Ephesians 6 teaches children to obey their parents. It also teaches parents to bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. But Ephesians 6 also says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Or Colossians 3, do not embitter your children. Now again, that doesn't mean you don't correct your children. It doesn't mean you don't punish your children. They need it to grow up a healthy child. But it should warn us about the dangers of using angry outbursts at them or using demeaning language to frighten them or shame them into respecting us. And if you have acted that way, it's a good opportunity to apologize. Isn't it good to know that we have a heavenly Father that can love us perfectly? If we are in Christ, we've been adopted by a Father who loves us with perfect love. A Father that we can always delight to honor because He loves us not for what we can do for Him, but because we're His children. Who knows what we need and loves to give us good gifts. A Father that corrects us, but always for our good. And if we are parents, our ultimate desire is for our kids to come to know this Father. Because He's a more perfect Father than we could ever be. And thank God for that. No matter what pain we might have left over from relationships with parents, or what regrets or fears we might have about our relationships with our children, we can first of all find a solid foundation for our souls in the love of our Heavenly Father. And then out of our delight to honor our Heavenly Father, we can treat our earthly parents with a respect and appreciation that pleases Him. And we may not have Israel's promises of a certain promised land to live in, and yet we do have the promise of a rich reward, of a deeper love with our Heavenly Father. And that's worth more than anything. Let's pray. God, we thank You for our earthly parents. And for our children, if we have children, if we are parents. These are some of the closest relationships, some of the most important relationships that You've given us on earth. And they're good. And they're valuable. But sometimes we know that they're painful as well. And I pray that You'd, especially those that are struggling with that, especially those that have painful family relationships, I pray that You'd draw them into Your love as a Father. You'd pour out on them the affirmation, as we were talking about in Sunday school, of being Your children. And out of the richness of that relationship, that we would be able to love our parents, honor them, even if we have to recognize the ways that they've fallen short. I pray that we would practice this command of honoring, respecting, appreciating, valuing our parents, valuing the generation that's older than us, because we love You and because You delight for us to treat them with that kind of respect. Please bring a rich reward of joy in You and fellowship with You as we walk in faith. Through Jesus' name, amen.